Blog Talk Radio.
Bro, you just dissed me for the final time. Bro, you just showed me disrespect. The only course of action left is to take us to the ring. This coming Monday night, we're gonna duke it out for keeper. And I will climb to the top rope and jump and kick you in the face. And I've been training all my wrestling skills.
Welcome to Marking Out in the Morning, coming to you live from Audacity Solutions Studios in Des Moines, Iowa. I am your host, The Audacity. It is November 4th, approximately, just about 10 a.m. I'm running late because before I went on the air, I decided to post at Inquisitor the spoiler-free NXT preview, so that it was easy for those who wanted to find it to find it online. And that's what I will use to reference our NXT spoiler-free preview as we get into that. Also, we have the match list for SmackDown without the match results, because why watch it if you already know what happens? I don't understand people who like spoilers. That's so weird to me. So that's what we'll do then. My friend Brian will be on. We'll go over just the different headlines. There's not a lot of major ones, although finally, it seems like lately I haven't had hardly anything to do with WWE, which is kind of my bread and butter as far as what I know about. And today, most of the headlines are that. Most of it's just gossip and rumors. It's not a lot of news, really, but what do you expect on a Wednesday morning for a wrestling podcast that reports stuff every day? You know, there's not a lot of new stuff. And I don't like to rehash stuff other than my own opinions by framing questions for my guests in ways that will hopefully result in a response that echoes my own opinion previously stated. That's what we got. I will go ahead and just dive right into the NXT spoiler-free preview. I'm sorry, let me get it pulled back up. The best way to check this out for yourself is to go to my article at Inquisitor. That's INQUISITR.com. It's probably not going to be on the front page because I doubt they place a high priority on NXT articles at this website that is just a broad news aggregate. But anyway, it's a pretty good full preview of the show tonight. We've got four matches. As you probably know, Apollo Crews challenges Finn Balor for the NXT Championship. You got to believe that's going to be at least like a 20-minute match, right? You would hope. I don't feel like the title is going to change hands on an NXT show. We'll talk more about it later. Anyway, that's the main event. Eva Marie makes her return to NXT Wrestling in a match against Marley, who doesn't matter as far as I'm aware. Bull Dempsey goes up against Angelo Dawkins. And I believe to kick off the show, we have Asuka up against Cameron, who we have not seen very much lately. So a relatively interesting card set for tonight. We'll go over some of that a little more in detail. We'll just go opening match to final match. So we have Asuka versus Cameron. And like I said, Cameron hasn't really done much since splitting with Naomi. Naomi really hasn't done much other than kind of befriend Sasha Banks so that she could be in a stable that's relevant to the Divas Revolution. I don't think that she deserves it. I don't know that she would have got it had she not been able to, you know, ask around. Not ask around, but hang around with Sasha Banks. So, anyway, Cameron is trying to learn to wrestle. If you've watched Total Divas or any of that, you've seen it on there. She's trying to get better. She was the one who infamously said that her favorite match of all time was, like, I don't know, some terrible, stupid match, like Eva Marie or Eva Torres. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I can't think of it right now. But I can't imagine that Cameron's going to get a win here unless Dana Brooke and Emma get involved. And that could be a possibility where they cause Cameron the ability to win. Bull Dempsey versus Angela Hawkins. I mean, Bull Dempsey's character, I don't think it really requires him to win to get over. He's just like a chubby guy trying to be less chubby. So whatever. Angelo Dawkins, I don't know if they're trying to push him, but it's really not going to hurt Bull Dempsey at this point to lose a match since he's in chubby phase or whatever is going on. So whatever, I expect a decent match. Angelo Dawkins, I expect, gets the win. And then Bull Dempsey, some weird thing I work out. I think they're good. Eva Marie, Marley, again, Marley is like, I don't even know who that is. I bet she'll get her own entrance and theme song, which is nice that all the newbies in NXT get the full treatment. But I don't see any reason Eva Marie won't win this match. She, as far as everyone's been saying, she's really high on WWE radar or whatever, what they want for the future. She's not super talented, but she has been working a lot with Brian Kendrick. She is one of the main focuses of Total Divas, and she is super hot, fairly young, has the same management as The Rock and Ronda Rousey, so she's going to do all right. I don't see any reason she won't make Marley look really bad. And in the main event, again, I don't see any reason that Apollo Crews wins the title tonight. He might win the NXT title at some point, but I don't see any reason why that happens tonight. He's super new and he's super on fire, and I don't know if there's going to be a dusty finish or anything where basically it's just not a clean finish. I don't know how it's going to end, but I don't think it's going to end with Apollo Crews taking the title, and I don't think necessarily Apollo Crews is going to lose 100% clean. So I don't know if someone else gets involved, if there's some weird referee crap, who knows. But it should be a good match. They're both super good performers. So I do believe Brian is joining us. How are you doing this morning, Brian?
Oh, not too bad. Waking up, gloomy fall day. Other than that, pretty good.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. Are you going to be watching NXT tonight?
I'm going to try to. I might have to watch, not live, but after the fact.
Yeah.
Starting today, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's new. It's like weird to think about how, like, when we were watching wrestling, like, you kind of had to be watching it live or, like, set your VCR to record it while you're not there, or you had to be like super rich to have like DVR capabilities back in the Attitude Era. It's so much easier to stay current.
A lot easier.
Yeah. So yeah. Cause I even have like kind of like a standing, you know, every Wednesday night, one of my friends comes over for NXT, and lots of times I just take a nap, like, right before he's supposed to come, and then it doesn't matter if he's there, like, you know, right at 7, or if he's not there till like, 9, because I'm just napping, and then you just start the show, and it's totally normal. And that is one of the greatest things about the last, you know, 10 years of the world. But, anyway, we're off topic a little bit. So there's going to be four matches tonight on NXT. Obviously, the title match, Finn Balor defending against Apollo Crews. Do you think there's any reason to believe that Crews wins the title tonight?
I mean, I heard the tail end of what you were saying about the potential dusty finish and stuff, which, I mean, is always a possibility. But the only thing I could see maybe why is with the main roster being so, I don't want to say depleted, but, I mean, with Orton's injury and Cena being gone and all that stuff, I mean, it's, you know, there's plenty of room right now for people to kind of step up and make a name for themselves. And, I mean, I know Finn's got to be near the top of the list for the next up-and-comer.
Yeah, absolutely. I know a lot of people think that he's going to debut at the Survivor Series as, you know, kind of this his demon-y character to help the Undertaker and Kane. Do you think there's any chance that happens?
I'd say that's probably the most likely scenario. You know, I don't know if they if he drops the title now or if they wait to, you know, a little closer, or they might have him drop it now and kind of, you know, keep him off NXT, you know, for a couple more weeks, and so it seems like more of a mystery type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, I think it'd be really cool, especially if they, I feel like a Survivor Series match is a good way to use someone like Sting, who, you know, isn't like in his peak physical condition
what?
Right now, but at like, you know, at like short minutes, intervals where he just gets tagged in and like can go hard for like 5 or 10 minutes and then tag out and rest, you know, and then come back in or whatever. I feel like that's like a great use for him. And then especially with something like The Undertaker. And then even if it doesn't happen, at least everybody starts talking about Sting versus Undertaker at WrestleMania 32. And we know that Vince is like, you know, got a huge boner for getting WrestleMania 32, like, you know, to break some records or whatever. So I feel like unless, I mean, you can always bring back Brock Lesnar to kind of be like, hey, I know we had that feud, but no, I fucking hate Bray Wyatt too. But I feel like that's not a great use of Brock Lesnar. And it's not like a great time to show like a human side to Brock Lesnar, you know? Yeah. Anyway, so I get a little off topic sometimes. Back to NXT. I don't think Finn Balor drops tonight either, but I don't feel like it's a super, I don't think it's going to be a super clean finish. And I could see, like, maybe at the next NXT special, Samoa Joe getting involved and making it a three-way. Or maybe even Baron Corbin making it a four-way. And especially if they don't have a specific place for Finn Balor, if they're not going to use him for Survivor Series, they might not really debut him on the main roster till like, you know, Royal Rumble. I know he did some like dark matches, or no, they taped some NXT matches in front of like the SmackDown audience, and with him and Samoa Joe, it seemed to go over well. But I can see both of those guys getting held off until Royal Rumble and being two of the kind of surprise entrants that night. And then around that same time, him dropping the title to, you know, Apollo Crews or whoever. Anyway, yeah, we'll move on to the next match because I just, Eva Marie versus Marley, probably not going to be match of the night, but I kind of love Eva Marie, and I am interested to see if the Brian Kendrick training has paid off anymore. I haven't got any Total Divas updates lately, so I see a lot of like workout tweets from her when I skim through them today, but not a lot of Brian Kendrick. So I don't know. How do you feel about Eva Marie, and how do you feel about? I guess one other thing too. I've kind of noticed that in NXT, all these like new girls who are like really nobodies. As far as I know, they're not even like indie scene girls or anything. They're just like, you know, just whatever new people. But they're getting like full entrances. They're getting full, you know, music and video and backstory, which I think is like really cool for the newbies. But do you think Eva Marie is just going to get the win tonight and kind of move on?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're high on her. I mean, yeah, obviously, she's hot, but
That she is.
But it's just, I don't know. It's, they talk, you know, the whole Divas Revolution and wanting to make women's wrestling like the biggest it's ever been. And, you know, so, I mean, they have somebody like Paige who is a great wrestler, and they keep going back and forth, you know, with her. They can't make up their mind. And, I mean, the Bellas have worked hard, don't get me wrong, but, I mean, they're not great. I don't know. Don't think they really ever will be. But, and it's just like, you know, I wish they'd make up their mind as far, are they going to go wrestling or are they going to go models? I mean.
Right.
You know, it's, I just kind of wish they'd make up their mind, I guess. It's just annoying sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not bad to have some of those models around, like doing like with the kind of stuff Lana and Summer Rae do. And Summer Rae's not even really a bad wrestler, but like Lana especially, you know, she's a good example of, as far as I know, someone who doesn't have a lot of in-ring ability and someone who's not really trying to make that part of her thing. She can be physical, but not, you know what I mean? Unlike when they started putting like Sable and Miss Kitty as champions back in the day. Mm-hmm. You know, God. I mean, Sable turned out to be decent, but, you know, whatever. Nikki Bella, I feel like, is already way past Sable level and maybe more like a...
Oh, definitely.
Maybe up there in, like, a Trish Stratus level or in that arena. That's what they're looking for, I think, with all these, you know, models who they try to turn wrestlers. I think they're hoping they find the next Trish Stratus that way. And, you know, they haven't had a Trish Stratus for... You know, really, since Trish Stratus. I can't think of anyone else who WWE trained, you know, from a different profession that they didn't already want to be a wrestler. You know, who is that good? So, so we have Eva Marie, who's probably going to win tonight. And then the other Divas match, or not Divas match, man, I do love that they don't call it Divas on NXT, but I believe the opening match of the night is going to be Asuka versus Cameron. So this leads, I mean, I don't really think there's any chance that Cameron gets a clean win over Asuka. She might if, like I said, Dana Brooke and or Emma get involved somehow. But I don't really think there's much of a chance that Ms. Bliss wins the women's title in NXT. But then if you're trying to say who's going to come next, there's like, I think at least three pretty viable contenders. You have... maybe before you have Asuka, who's, you know, the Hideo Itami of the women's division in NXT, and she's been kind of just going through everyone, and she has, like, really kind of hilarious facial expressions and antics and everything. Then, of course, there's whoever comes out on top between her and Dana Brooke, because Dana Brooke is pretty legit, it seems, and if they can heal her way past Asuka right now, she could be the next one up. There's Nia Jax, who is just like going to destroy people for a while, I think. But a lot of times WWE uses those characters to go straight to the title, like Great Khali did and a lot of people like that. And then, of course, there's Eva Marie, who they think is going to get pushed pretty hard, so they may want to give her a shot at the fan loved Bailey. Who do you think is the next real contender for the NXT Women's Championship?
Oh God. That's hard to say. I mean, right now I would say, I mean, kind of, unfortunately, I mean, 'cause I don't think she's ready, but Eva Marie, just because of the push, but at the same token, I think they're running dangerously close to maybe, you know, a la Roman Reigns of, you know, pushing them down the fans' throats too hard, and they're just going to turn on them. I mean, Roman's kind of rebounded from that a little bit, I believe, but, you know, whenever they try to do that, it just, the fans kind of know it, and they just aren't having it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's be done. I guess we can talk real quick. Bull Dempsey versus Angelo Dawkins. I don't remember Angelo Dawkins getting any kind of push recently, but Bull Dempsey's character doesn't really need to win to get over. So I don't really know what they're going to do with this match, and I don't think it's real significant either way, honestly. But it might be an entertaining filler match, as both those guys are relatively funny in the ring these days. So that's really all we need to say about NXT. I think any other thoughts or anything before we move on?
No, I think I'm good with the NXT talk for now.
All right, well, let me get up we'll run real quick through just through the match list for SmackDown tomorrow. We won't talk too much about it. I was on Ticketmaster this morning because you can pre-order WrestleMania tickets as of today, and I had the code, but the WWE fans, I think, basically crashed the site. And then there was one time the order actually, I was about ready to be able to order one, and I wasn't paying attention, and time expired. So I think basically all the pre-sale ones are probably gone. And so anyway, in case you were curious about that, didn't want that to open. Man, I'm having some real issues.
Well, okay. You know, if you can, with your podcast now, if you can, write it off as a business expense and get, press passes or something, and if you need somebody to go with you. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, man. I don't think I haven't thought about that many times. And I don't know if you can hear in the background, but I got Survivor Series 1989 playing in the background. And this is like one I don't have memorized. I wish I was kind of paying closer attention, but I'm glad I'm kind of not. I can go back and watch it again like in a couple of weeks. I don't really remember anything, but that's like right before I got into it. So it's all these characters and wrestlers I know, but just stories that I didn't really ever get invested in when they were relatively current. Okay, so Thursday night SmackDown. Real quick, we'll go through the match list. I can't tell if I'm going main event to opening match or opening match to main event. I'm going to say main event to opening match. Alberto Del Rio versus Neville in a non-title match. The Usos versus The Ascension, a traditional Survivor Series match with the Wyatt family versus the Primetime Players and the Lucha Dragons. Ryback versus King Barrett. Natalya versus Tamina Snuka. And Kevin Owens versus Dean Ambrose. Any of those matches sound interesting to you?
Well, I think the Owens and Ambrose match, I think those two could really put on a show, but, I don't know if either one of them will really, get the time to do it.
Yeah. But if that's the opening, match and the main event match are basically the two biggest matches. So either way, they're giving them a pretty big spot, and hopefully they give them at least, whatever a solid match on SmackDown be like, 8 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, if it's really good. So SmackDown, there's better stuff on it than they give it credit for. That Survivor Series match could be fun just because I love Survivor Series matches, and I'm sure the Wyatts will look really strong in that match. But, let's go real quick then through some of the headlines and the rumors and all that kind of fun stuff. Somebody else at Inquisitor wrote an article basically letting us know that SmackDown is not going to be moving to Tuesday nights when it goes to USA. According to someone from the USA Network, it's going to be staying on Thursday nights, which probably means it will not be a live show, and means the changes are going to have to come in other directions. I was reading the other day that the USA has also been going really hard at getting more family-friendly advertisers for their SmackDown show. So I don't know what other kind of changes there'll be when it moves over to USA if they're not changing nights and they're not going live. But that's really the kind of latest on that. Do you expect anything major change? Do you think the attitude will change at least, how they book it and how they promote it once it goes to USA?
– I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, obviously they want. I think they want SmackDown, you know, because Raw pulls in decent enough ratings for them, you know. So they really want to change it that much, or make it more like Raw a little bit. You know, it's hard to say. You don't want them, you know, fans of one product. You know, you know, if there's any, you know, strictly Raw viewers or strictly SmackDown viewers, I'm thinking they're gonna want them to kind of, you know, watch both of them now. So I don't know if they would really make it all that different from another, just to, you know, potentially turn somebody off to it or something.
Yeah, definitely. I'm hoping at least the USA Network helps promote the show more, which makes WWE more invested in the show. And that even if they have to find some sort of niche that, you know, is like, oh, you know, kind of like, I don't know, whatever. I'm not going to try to throw out ideas now or whatever. But, yeah, hopefully SmackDown gets kind of a reboot, because I'm forced to watch all wrestling every week while I do this. So I like it to be better, you know. Anyway, let's move on.
Like you're forced.
I am. It's part of my job now, so I have to watch all of it. Batista, he just was interviewed recently or whatever and talked a little bit, kind of yammered about his poor return in 2014. He did say, though, he does want to eventually come back and do one final run and one final match with WWE, quote, on his own terms. Would there be any way in which you would be interested in Batista coming back for one more match?
As long as he comes back and beats Daniel Bryan. No. Gosh, I don't even know. I mean, I was never that high on him ever to begin with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he does, he does. But, you know, and I'd watch it or whatever. But
if you were there, WWE Creative, and they asked for your idea for who Batista gets booked against in his final match, who do you take him with? Who do you book him against? We'll say it's WrestleMania 33 in Minneapolis. Batista versus who for his final match?
Oh, man. I would think probably one of Batista's top picks would be Triple H, but, you know, kind of have a feeling of been there, done that with Triple H.
That's kind of an unfair question to me to just spring on you, because I don't have an answer, and I've known it was in the air for a lot longer than you have. So maybe that's an indication that it's not really that important that he ever comes back if we don't have a good answer for, like, oh, who do you want him to go up against? Maybe it's just like, well, that's your answer, is you don't really need to come back. Maybe if Triple H just really wants a match at WrestleMania, because, yeah, I feel like that would be his, you know, kind of, unless there's some young guy he really likes for some reason, I just feel like, you know, him and Triple H can have one match, and then Batista can just go be a Marvel superhero, and He's almost better at that than being a wrestler anyway, in my opinion. So, whatever.
Yeah.
Real
quick, I don't know if you saw this. But speaking of kind of Batista and rumors, I did see that at the UK premiere of the new James Bond movie, Shane McMahon made an appearance with Batista. So there's all kinds of rumors that, I mean, Shane McMahon's taken a lot lesser role in the company he established after he left. So there's all kinds of rumors that he might be coming back in some sort of role with WWE.
Yeah, yeah, I heard that too. And then I heard there's also everything from, you know, whatever, going back to kind of an on-air role against the Authority to something like where he does have, they said that there was in the list of future DVD releases or like network specials or something, there was like a best of Shane O'Mac, and that he would probably come back to do commentary for that, and then they'd have him record a bunch of stuff for all the other, you know, news list shows and all that stuff that WWE's putting out. But yeah, I would be a huge fan of him actually coming back, and I like him as a kind of physical management presence, and he's kind of a fun guy to have get other Authority figures all riled up and whatnot.
Definitely, 100% agree with that.
So, all right, and one other thing that I haven't really read too much about, but I saw it's kind of going all over the place, and Rolling Stone reported about it, was Ronda Rousey saying, like, oh, yeah, she, like, watches NXT and blah, blah, blah. I'm a huge wrestling fan, and I would like to see the position of women in the sport continue to improve, so if I can be a part of it, great. So, obviously, I don't think it's ever going to work out. Yeah, and then she goes on again, well, there's something more, I guess, where it's like, I'm really encouraged by what I've seen, what they're doing in WWE. There's more that can be done. Blah, 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 all these great women from NXT are all different from normal mold would be. True for the Divas division, I'm not going to take credit for anything, but I definitely want to be part of it as much as I can. Is that really her? No, that can't be it. That can't be her that said that, right? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway, Ronda Rousey in the WWE or NXT. Obviously, it can't really be done while she's under contract with UFC, but if and when she's a free agent again, do you think that happens, and do you think it works well in WWE?
I could see her transitioning very well. I think obviously the WWE is very high on her already. And I just think she could, you know, she could move over. I mean, yeah, there might be a few hiccups, you know, transitioning, but, but like you said, I mean, as long as she's under contract, and I mean, I don't know if, you know, whether it comes to her being a free agent or after she retires, because I mean really there doesn't really seem like there's a whole lot left, you know, she can do in UFC. I mean, honestly.
Yeah. yeah absolutely. Do you think, I mean, how do you end up, if she does end up going WWE, is there ever a good way to book her where she doesn't win? I mean, how did you ever book a match? If she, like, remains undefeated in UFC and, like, no woman ever in the world has ever been able even to, like, touch her, really, and then she comes to WWE, I mean, who do you think – how do you think they eventually – I mean, how do you – I mean, you know, can you have Sasha Banks beat Ronda Rousey or, like, you know what I mean? Even, like –
that's a good question.
It doesn't matter who it is. Like, there's no way you have to, like, completely – even worse than, like, Brock Lesnar, you just have to completely forget, like, oh, yeah, this woman could destroy most of the men in the locker room, like, legit. Not like China, like, she could bench more than most of them. It's like she could make most of them cry. And then you're going to, like, who – I mean, I don't know, man. There's some things where it's just like, that's a bit much, but I guess if that's what you want me to believe, that, you know, Ric Flair's daughter – is going to outfight Ronda Rousey, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but maybe that's, you know, maybe they, you know, bring her in and, you know, build her up as this, like, monster in UFC. I mean, not that they have to build her up for that, but that, you know, like, she's beating all the toughest women in the world, so maybe
yeah.
they bring her in to go against guys. I mean, I don't think she would, you know, necessarily be against it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd hate to be the first person that tries to take a, or tries to do a stiff shot on Ronda Rousey and then have her come back at him, but...
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
So, you know, I mean, I definitely think she could. In
yeah.
In some way, form coming to the WWE, but... They would just... you know, have
yeah.
to... perfectly, I think, would work.
Yeah. Yeah, would be interesting. I think I like anything that helps bring kind of legitimacy and, like, more mainstream attention. And now that they have, like, a weekly spot on SportsCenter and, you know, whatever, and they're, whatever, I like anything to do that. So if Ronda Rousey is, like, willing to come and, like, you know, be involved in any kind of fun way, that'll be, that will be pretty sweet, I think. So, all right, well, I'm going to get things kind of wrapped up. There's not a whole lot of other real news, mostly just gossip about stuff like Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 32 and Adam Rose possibly re-bringing back the Bunny and whether or not Alberto Del Rio is really getting $1.45 million a year or whether it's more like a third of that amount and whether or not Vince is going to let him go have one more match to give up his AAA title. And there's ROH pay-per-view updates, but I don't know any of those guys anyway. And this one band I really like, Every Time I Die, one of their guys is like in an indie promotion somewhere. And I think somewhere maybe in Pennsylvania. And so he's getting a little kind of attention right after that Corey Taylor thing happens. Now this other guy and this other kind of, Every Time I Die, they're like, I was kind of involved around a lot of those people who were big in the hardcore scene like 12 years ago. And this was one of the bands I actually liked from that time. Anyway, doesn't matter. That was just one of my favorite stories, but almost nobody will know who Every Time I Die really is. Anyway, so before we wrap everything up, is there anything else you want to talk about, get off your chest, confess, anything?
Gosh.
It's just, okay if it's not.
My, well, just I think my, you know, wishes will be in vain. You know, but like I had kind of mentioned earlier, with some of the top guys, you know, either taking a break or being out, that I just hope some of the guys, whether it be NXT or some of the guys already on the main roster, like Ziggler and Cesaro, and, you know, I hope maybe they can, you know, take a couple steps up. But, you know, it's the thing of whether WWE will let them or if they're just going to kind of spin their wheels till the other guys come back. I mean, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
also,
for sure.
I mean, I'm kind of disappointed how Bray Wyatt's kind of went from like this, you know, monster, like mysterious heel to like a, I read somewhere and I agreed with it, but referred to as a, basically a cartoon character heel now. I don't think they really have to go that direction with Bray Wyatt, but
yeah, with like the lightning and the fire and the all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of it either, but I guess if this is like, if they're thinking like long-term, like they want to find their next Undertaker, who's always this kind of weird, dark, sometimes has, you know, magical powers and kind of can die and keep coming back. Like if you want that to last for like 10 years, then you probably got to have kids who are like 5, 6, and 7 years old right now be like, oh, that's that Bray Wyatt guy. He can like do lightning. It's cool. And then as they get older and realize how fake it is, they're like, well, that was still pretty sweet. And then like when they're hitting teenager, that's when like, you know, their Undertaker goes like ministry and biker taker. And they're like, yeah, now Bray Wyatt like cusses and like, you know, whatever. He's like this badass. And then they get all nostalgic and it's like back to when Undertaker goes like back to old school. And they're like, oh yeah, I remember when Bray Wyatt was weird and could control the lightning. That was cool. And so that's maybe it could be the best long-term plan would be like, get those kids now so that they're to Bray Wyatt what we are, it's like the Undertaker. And then they'll be all pissed off when some other idiot in like 20 years is like doing these gimmicks and Bray Wyatt's like too old to move. And they're like, what? Why are they stealing all Bray Wyatt's powers? He's the one that used to do that. And then, you know, it'll just be the cycle of always having one weird supernatural thing. So you can always have some super messed up gimmick if you really need it for whatever reason, whether it's like, oh, someone's going to actually die in this match or like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like they always have.
I've also heard some rumors maybe that, I doubt it, but that Daniel Bryan will be part of Taker's team or something with the little problem he had with the Wyatt family.
Yeah, that would be a sweet comeback.
Excuse for that or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like there's basically for a lot of guys right now, especially for someone like Daniel Bryan who's making a comeback or making a debut, I guess there's kind of four really because you have Survivor Series, where you could, especially if you need a surprise, you could always just be the surprise Undertaker partner, you know. Then there's always Royal Rumble, which is always a decent time to debut a new person as a surprise. Or you just make an announcement and your first match is at WrestleMania. Or the night after WrestleMania, you could be like the big surprise pop of the night for that. So I feel like Daniel Bryan could be any of those four because it sounds like he's, from everything I've heard, his doctors or whatever say he's healthy, but it's the WWE's insurance type doctors who are like, not yet. So,
yeah.
Yep, yeah. All right, well.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, it'll be cool, I'm sure, even if not as a wrestler. I'm sure he'll be – hopefully they'll get something more than just hosting. Hopefully he'll be like a referee or be really involved in, I don't know, somehow if not actually wrestling. Hopefully by 32 he's back in the ring for at least one more match.
I hope so.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and play the closing clip. Thanks for chatting with us this morning. And we will probably talk to you next Wednesday morning.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Thanks for having me. You too, buddy.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Marching Out in the Morning is proud to be recorded in Des Moines, Iowa at Audacity Solutions Studios. You can check us out at HeelZiggler.com. Follow us on Twitter at HeelZiggler_Tom. The song you hear at the beginning of the show was recorded in Des Moines, Iowa by my friend Campbell D'Souza with recording studios of Phil Young. You likely also heard the song Parsec by the artist Arno Puros, which I downloaded for free at NoiseTrade.com, the album Timelines, and got permission from Arno Puros on Twitter for that. I also downloaded the song you're hearing right now at NoiseTrade.com. It is by a band called Ampersand. The song is called Aurora Borealis. It's on their album Trial and Trial. Available for free at NoiseTrade.com. I haven't got their permission to this yet, but I hope to do so in the future. I tweet them about it, so we'll see what happens. You may also hear a more aggressive song that would be Ready, Set, Fire by a website called Incompetech.com, where you can download stuff like that and for your own good, royalty free. Marking Out in the Morning is here every morning, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. You can subscribe to our podcast at iTunes or Stitcher District for Audacity Solutions Podcast. And of course, you can listen live every day or listen to the entire archive at blogtalkradio.com/AudacitySolutions.